The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Hello, and we will, by the way, if you ever want the entire audio, you can email or message the church, and we'll send you out an MP3, no charge to you. We want to get the word into your hands, amen? So praise God, everybody.
Amen.
So for the past couple of weeks, we have had a sign-up sheet on the back shelf. And it's about the covenant class, covenant. Not a lot of people doing covenants these days. Covenants are binding. Covenants are eternal. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that it's better to have not made a vow than to make a vow and break it. And so we've been praying over that before we ever set that out there. And we wondered who would come alongside us in the body of Christ. We wondered who would come alongside. Now, you say, "Well, I can serve the Lord and not be a member." You can. That's true. But to come under the covering, some are just getting into the overflow. All right? Some are just, and God's blessing pretty good in the overflow. Amen. Some are just in the overflow, and they're seeing things happen. They're seeing things, but there comes a point where either you make a decision that we are, you know what? There's something good there. God has sent me someplace good, and I want to be a part of it, not just a rider on it, right? You know the difference between a horse and a rider, right? Who's doing all the work? Unless you're breaking the horse, of course. But then the horse still has a part to play. Right, so we've had the sign-up sheet back there, and we will. We're asking you prayerfully consider. And those of you who are watching us remotely, if the Lord is leading you to say, "Hey, I want to be part of something bigger than myself," do you know that's what gives us worth in this world? That we're part of something greater than ourselves. You say, "Are you, Pastor? Are you bragging on the church?" Yeah, I brag on the church.
Amen.
God's doing a work here, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of what God's doing in this house. He's setting people free. He's delivering people.
Amen.
There's no need to be ashamed of that.
That's right.
I mean, if all kinds of perversions and all kinds of whatever can have their Pride Month, you know, we can be proud of the God that we serve. Amen.
Amen.
And so, if you want to be a part of that, if you've prayed about that, you want to be a part of that. Well, then. Let me just run through some of the stuff, especially if those of you who may have not been through. This is just one of the teachings that we have that we want to revive. This is not even the class back there, but this is the Christian growth class. How many of us like to grow as believers in Christ?
Amen.
Right? So here's week one. Your new life and how to study the Bible. When you were first born again, who taught you how to study the Bible? Were you taught how to study the Bible? Or did they, like me, say, "Well, you know, the book of John's a good book. Just get in the book of John and boom, there you go." Like that rap singer, whoop, there it is. And then it's like a pinball in a pinball machine and somebody good on one of the double paddles. You know, you're like, bang, 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 bang. That was amusing. Somebody off camera just amused me. That's funny. Your new life. And how to study the Bible. At least say amen when you do that. All right. Week number two, prayer beyond the words and breaking bad habits. Think, sound like something to help somebody? Prayer, going beyond the words. And that lesson explains what prayer is and what prayer is not. And how to know that God has heard your prayers. Wouldn't it be great to know and with confidence that God has heard your prayers? You can. It's in the Word. You can know. You can pray with confidence. The second topic would be is how to give you the tools to break the bad habits you developed before you received Jesus. And who doesn't need that, right? Week number four, saved. Now what? Is it just enough to get saved? Is that it? And then we just wait? Kind of like as Brother Dave would say, he was in the queue at the airport. We're just waiting. Just waiting. The queue, in, for those of you who haven't watched any British TV with the coronation and all that funeral, the queue is the line. Saved. Now what? So you get saved, are you just in line? I hope we're not in the bless me club, because you may be in line a while. So this lesson will explain what can I expect now that I'm saved? And what does God expect from me? Do you realize He has an expectation of you in your life? He does. God has an expectation from His children. God, men understand it. We have expectations of our children. And just like we have expectations, God has expectations. The exception is that God does not reward bad behavior. All right, let's fold this up and sit down and take an offering now. God says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. That might be a class of some interest. Week number 5. Keeping off the casualty list. How many believers are on fire one week and off the wagon the next? How many believers have faith in God? That's not the problem. But they don't have any stick-to-itiveness. When the enemy comes, they're like the seed that fell in the stony ground. And when the sun comes up, because they had no roots in order to be able to get nutrients and moisture up into their fauna, they wither and die. That class will help you stay off the casualty list. Amen? Sound familiar? There's some really good teaching going on here that you should avail yourself to, just like everything else at the river. This comes with a triple your money back guarantee. Triple your money back guarantee. I don't even think Elon Musk will do that. So, all right. Wow. Just kicking that. Now we haven't even got into the class that's being proposed right now. So, and by the way, just because you go to that class doesn't mean that you're going to automatically become a member. That you can go to the class and find out what the church is all about, find out where the church came from, what they're doing, what they're believing, and what we teach. It's the full open door of what we are. I mean, what if somebody uptown asks you, well, what do they believe out there at the river? You want to, oh, come to church with me. Remember, we're talking about our friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors. Well, okay, you got me interested. What do they believe out there? Well, what did Pastor Corey preach on 3 weeks ago? Am I overhitting that? What? By the way, take really good notes, because Pastor Corey's preaching this Sunday. All right? Get your pencils out. Get the broadcast. Be able to amen. You know, the strange thing about it is, do they fuel the cars up at the Indy 500 before the start of the race or in lap 19? Cue the Jeopardy theme song. You should arrive here Sunday full of the Holy Ghost of God and ready to receive what God is pouring out. Amen. How many have seen those little cookies that you cut and put on a tray and put in the oven? Nestle, I think, makes them, right? Or the cookies? Who? So you slice and bake cookies. Now, I know there's some weirdos out there that eat the cookie dough. We need to counsel with you. But how many take those when you get them in your grocery cart at Walmart or Owens or Martin's or wherever you're shopping, and you get them and you get a big old thing of butter, and you look down the silverware aisle for a knife because you want to put some butter on them in the truck or car and eat them on the way home? That's out of order, isn't it? I mean, if we know that that's out of order, then maybe when, sometimes when we come here and we have to have ever, you know, the pastors have to warm you up. Maybe we got diesel Christians. My mom and dad had a diesel luxury car. Now, I don't know, I never understood that. A big old Oldsmobile, Delta 88 or whatever. I never understood that. They would go to church conferences and they would go places like that in this beautiful car. And when he would pull up, you know, and somebody would open the door for him and then they would go park your car, you know. He would pull up and the usher would open up the door of the church and he'd be like, and the people would all turn around and look like, where's what, the semi drivers are coming to church today? Luxury and diesel. Not a fit. Not back then anyway. But the point I was going to make is, if Dad would go out, even though he garaged the car, if Dad would go out in the winter, there was a button on the dash that he had to press before and wait. And that button would flash. And if he tried to start it before it flashed, that meant that the glow plug wasn't hot. That meant that the fuel was still thick. And that meant that he would flood it and he would be 3 hours trying to go anywhere. I want your glow plug pushed when you come Sunday. When you come on Wednesday nights, I want your glow plug pushed. I want to get in here ready to receive the Word of God with gladness. You know why gladness is important? We talked about this three months ago. You know why gladness is important? Because if you receive it with gladness, it'll stay with you. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Right? Hide it. Lock it in. All right. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. Don't know how far we're going to get for this, but we're getting ready to go to a feast. Chapter 22, verse 1, Matthew's Gospel. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain man who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out his servants to call those who were invited and they were not willing to come. Is yours highlighted like mine? I don't know how many times we've invited and people are not willing to come. I don't know how many times I've been told by people, we'll be there. I'll be there. And they're not willing to come. We talked about this a little bit. We led into this on Sunday a little bit. Just tell me, just be honest. Quit trying to be more holier than thou or appear more holy than you are. If you hate my guts, tell me. If you hate the church, tell me. If you don't want to go to heaven, tell me. And make it easy for me. You say, well, that sounds kind of crass, Pastor. Well, I tell you, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said he wished that everyone had a yellow X on their back who was going to receive Christ. That way it would be easier for him and he wouldn't have to waste his time. My time is limited here. I'm just passing through. I get one bite at this apple. But more importantly, so do you. And they were not willing to come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, tell those who were invited, see, I have prepared my my dinner, my oxen and the fatted calf are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, sorry, we just forgot. You know, sorry, we got busy. Sorry, we were working. Sorry, we got a tournament there. That's, you know, we got a tournament on wedding day. Sorry, we can't make it. I know that these were arranged marriages that were arranged from the childhood, and we knew what day it was going to be, you know, for 10 years in advance. But, you know, sorry, I double booked. And really, God, you're not really a priority for me. That's JC's translation. Hang with me. It'll get worse. But they made light of it. They laughed and they joked and they mocked the servants. Boy, if you don't read the Bible, it would be easy to make you want to give up. If you don't read the Scripture, if you're not in contact with the Lord every day, and I'm not just talking, oh, Lord, you know, let me get every light on there. Been in Luke's truck when he's like, Lord, don't let me get a train. I'm sitting over there, Lord, let us catch a train. How's our prayer life? Does God only ever hear from us when we need something or when we want something? Think about that for a minute in your relationships that you've had. How many of us have had people that are friends that the only time you ever see them is when they have a need or have a want? And Ashley, notwithstanding right now, she does have a need. But how many times do you... I had a friend one time in church. The only time he ever came around was when he needed his computer fixed. And evidently the Spirit was dealing with him. And he said, you probably think the only time I ever come around is when I have something for you to fix on my computer. You know, I'm like, well, the thought had crossed my mind. Duh. You know, just because you're a geek doesn't mean you're stupid. All right, it's hot. The air conditioner will be fixed before too long. It's hot. I told you it's going to be a hot message tonight. It's a hot message for hot messes. Track with me, come on. Come on, stay with me. But they made light of it. Oh, that's all right for you. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. Uh-huh. How's that working out for you? It may be working okay today because Jesus will let you have your head sometimes like they do a horse, give them their head a little bit. But one of these days, I guarantee, as that cook in Cajun used to say, I guarantee one of these days he's going to yerk hard on the reins. And if you ain't listening, he might do it hard enough to bring you to your knees. Coming. It's coming. There's a storm coming. And you better have your eyes on Jesus. You better have your eye on the prize. You better have your ears listening to the Master. You've got to be like Peter walking on the water and say, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come out. And when he started walking on the water, I know where everybody goes with this. Well, Peter sank. Well, that's easy to say if you've never stepped out of the boat.
Yep. Come on.
Don't be giving me that Peter sank stuff. You know, Peter did something that not anybody else would do either.
Yep,
one, he stepped out of the boat because Jesus said, come. And two, beginning to sink.
Mm-hmm.
He cried out, Lord, save me. Some of us don't even cry out to the Lord after we've sunk to the bottom. We're sitting on the bottom with SpongeBob and Patrick before we look up and say, hey, I'm in the wrong location. The younger part got that. That's okay. And they went their own ways. They began to make light of it, and they went their own ways. One to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. So you want to be a pastor? Just throwing that out there. I hear Pastor Burkhardt a lot. Killed them. That's not the best way to tell somebody you love them and appreciate them, is it? I mean, we went a lot of years on Pastor Appreciation Month without anybody even saying boo. Just as long as you don't kill me, I know you love me. That which does not kill us makes us stronger. But when the king heard about it, he was sad. No. What? Must be a spot. When the king heard about it, he was furious. How's that God is love thing fitting into this scripture? Oh, he's love until you make him angry. I wonder if the Lord was the one that inspired that about Bruce Banner. You know, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me very much if when I'm angry. Right? There are a bunch of sinners that are being ready to be plunged into the hands of an angry God. There are a bunch of posers that are in the church, but they're not of the church. You know, Jesus talked of those that they were with us, but they were not of us. They were around us, but they weren't with us in spirit and in one mind and one accord. You know, we talk about and we introduce the classes coming up. You know, it's hard to be in one accord and walk in one accord and one mind with someone if you're constantly standing at the edge. Constantly standing by the escape hatch. And I was doing that a couple of weeks ago. We were taking down a rotted porch, and we were putting up new 4x4s in it, and I was standing as close to the exit as I could. Gravity pulls at 120 miles an hour. Okay, gotcha. The heavy porch, if it were to come down, was going to be coming at 120 miles an hour. Can you run 120 miles an hour? No, but gravity pulls everything at 120 miles an hour. And I was hoping to fall the other way. You see, you got to work smarter, not harder. If gravity's pulling the roof down at 120, hopefully I hear it or see it or get it, and then I fall the other way at 120. It's offsetting penalties. We get up and we call Luke for the bobcat.
That's right.
But it never happened. It never happened. God watched out for us. But I was standing as close to the exit as possible. I wasn't invested. One foul sound and I could go. Do you know that's where most Christians are today in the church? One hard message and I'm out of here, Pastor. I will go down the road to the other church where he's afraid of losing me. I can't lose what I don't have. And those of you here at the river, and those of you watching on the broadcast, and those of you that follow us on the broadcast, you are not mine.
That's right.
You're the Lord's.
That's right.
And I've just been charged to take care of you. Amen. If another pastor is fretting about losing his people, then you're in the wrong place. You might be in a cult.
Yep.
You're in the wrong place. Because as under shepherds, I serve the master shepherd. I serve the good shepherd. And this flock is not my own. I'm not a hireling. He set me in here. But my care is for you. And you.
That's
Amen. But when he heard about it, the king was furious. Now, first he sent his servants. Now, watch this. First he sent his servants. First he sent his messengers. When they were rejected. And I believe there's coming a day when the final man or woman of God is going to be reject. They're going to say, nope, we don't want you. We're tired of that. We're done with you. It's easier for us to serve the God that is all love. After he'd sent his servants, and they killed him, and they beat him, and they mistreated him, he was furious. And then he sent his armies. Destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. If you've been rejecting the Lord time and time and time again, don't think you're just rejecting this old pastor. Because it'd be much easier for me to be sitting on my tractor at home or doing something at home than to come and ask people who may get hostile with you, would you like to go to church with me? I've got something to show you. I've got a word to tell you. You're not rejecting me. I'm just the messenger. You're rejecting the one who sent me. Well, I don't believe that God sent you. That's on you. That's on you. If it's kind of funny. Back when he was still alive, if Ed McMahon showed up with one of those 4x8 checks at your door, had your name on it, and balloons and vans and a TV crew, and he comes to your house and he knocks on your door and says, congratulations, you're the winner of $1 million a year for life because of the Publisher's Clearinghouse. How many of you say, I don't believe the Publisher's Clearinghouse sent you? Tonight we were blessed with apple butter. How many of us are going to put it back on the shelf and say, I don't believe that's real apple butter? I don't believe God blessed those apples to grow. And I don't believe he gave that couple of knowledge enough to peel them and make apple and apple butter and applesauce and whatever else. If you refuse it, is the gift invalid? Just because you refuse it just means you don't get to benefit from it. You ain't hurting God. You're not hurting the family of God. Just because you refuse the gift, that's on you. Recently, we've had some people stand with us because their house is being renovated. And I got two things of peach preserves. You know, and there they are. They look beautiful, and they weren't marked. I just figured, you know, it was like free trade. You know, like the leftover egg rolls that are in the refrigerator. They didn't have nobody's name on them. I partook. If someone cares enough about you, we're not trying to build a church.
That's right.
We're trying to build the kingdom.
That's right. Amen.
And if someone cares enough about you to say, you know what, I'd like to invite you not to come and see this gorgeous bohunk of a pastor who'll be preaching Sunday, who does have hair, it's these lights.
Amen.
They're inviting you to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yes.
Because we care about your soul.
Yes. Amen.
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 Amen. So the king said to his servants, those who we invited, the wedding was ready, but they weren't worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. Go down to Lowe's. Go to the Citco. Go to the Good to Go. Go to the Marathon. Go to Owens. Go to Martin's. Go to wherever. The highways and the byways are wherever you go. You have a testimony. You know what the blind man, said when they questioned him, when the religious crowd questioned him? You know what he said to them? And they came in and they said, well, it looks like him, awful familiar. You know, people are going to say, you know, especially for those who get set free, some may get set free from drug addiction. Some may get set free from alcoholism. Some may get set free from abuse. Our God's a chain breaker.
Yes.
We're called to set the captives free.
Right.
And I don't know who's seeing this tonight. I don't know why this is. I don't have any notes. There's it. Pastor told you right on Sunday evening. I don't have any notes. I'm just preaching the Word of God. Our God is a chain breaker and a deliverer.
Yes.
And if you're tired of the drugs, if you're tired of the alcohol, if you're tired of the abuse, I know a place where you can be free.
Amen.
And I'm not just talking free for a moment. I'm not just talking trading one abuse for another. I'm talking about free. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and there is freedom. Amen?
Amen.
You get here, God will set you free. You get here. They went into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both. Now, I don't want to say this. I don't want to say that word. Mrs. Boland, in my Sunday school teacher for years, taught me that Jesus didn't like bad little boys and girls. Well, I hope to shout she was wrong. If he didn't love bad boys and girls, where would we be? Because your Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. I thank God that Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. Going back 2 weeks now, I hope you took good notes. When the prodigal was separated from his father said he was dead. He was out of the source, remember the barrel, and into the system. He was dead. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live.
Amen.
Back to the temple. Jesus healed the blind man. He walked in. They got to look at him. Man, that looks like him, but I don't know that that's him. Hey, is that you? That's me. What did he do to you? I don't know. All I know is I once was blind, but now I see. They're like, nah, it can't be him. Surely that's not him. They said, let's ask his parents. You know, the religious crowd will do everything they can to discount the work of Christ in your life. The religious crowd will say, you've gone too far, you've done too much. You're not fit for the dog to bark at. But the Jesus crowd will say, hey, listen, I see you in the ditch. You see, the priest may have walked beside you, and the public help may have walked beside you. The religious person may have walked beside you, but here at the river, we're going to come over to you and we're going to offer you a hand up. We're going to say, hey, look, we've been in that situation. There's not a one of us in this room that hasn't found ourselves in the ditch. And someone had compassion and pity on us, and we extend that to you in Jesus' name.
Amen?
Amen. So let's get his parents. I'm mixing three stories. I hope you can get it back. Let's get his parents. His parents said, hey, no, you're not catching us in that trap. We know how you religious nuts are. He's of age. Ask him. Well, that puts him in a quandary, doesn't it? Your mom and dad don't even want to vouch for you. Do 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 do. So there they turned their ire and their angst back on him and said, what did he do? And he said, I don't know. Well, are you one of his disciples? He goes, maybe you want to become one of his disciples too. And then they all received the word with gladness. No, they were going to beat him and cast him out. We don't want to be his disciples. You know, just like everybody we ask, and they don't want to come to church. Too much? Too strong? If you really knew Jesus like you say you knew Jesus, then nothing would stand between you and Jesus. You say, well, I got to do this, and I got to work, and I got to... which system are you in? Real good teaching. Go back and pick it up. It's still online. They haven't taken it off yet. Which system are you in? Are you attached to the source or to the system of the world? The other night I was praying. I could feel the room being filled with angels. Something descended from heaven as I was praying. I felt the presence of God in my room. All of a sudden, I felt something touch me, like right here on the side. I turned and looked, and one of those angels had appeared before me. He said, hey, he had a cup in his hand. He said, buddy, got a quarter? We're broke up here in heaven. Now y'all know I'm going somewhere with this. As long as I'm in Father's house, if he doesn't have lack, as long as I'm in Father's house, if they eating good at Father's house, guess what we're doing?
Amen.
If they're healed in Father's house, if they're walking in provision and they're not afraid in Father's house, if they can look at the mess that this world is spiraling into and they're not afraid in Father's house. Matter of fact, I think they're getting a little anxious at Father's house. I think that they're getting ready. They're all looking over and they're looking back and they're looking over and they're looking back. And one of these minutes, one of these hours, they're going to hear him say, go get my children. You say, well, what's he waiting on? Well, in Revelation it tells us, the bride has made herself ready. When a bride has made herself ready, she is 100% for the groom. Not like that old country song. 99.44% won't do. The bride gets herself ready. It's on. Pastor Burkhart used to say he believed that there was one little boy, one little girl, one man or one woman somewhere in this world. And when they say yes to Jesus, then the fullness of Gentiles will have come in. Get ready. Get ready. While there's still time, make sure that there's oil in your lamp. Keep your wicks trimmed. You don't want to be carrying a wick, a lamp that's low on oil and burning wick, because all you're going to get is soot. Keep your lamp full of oil. I'm going to close with this. Whenever you see oil in the Scripture, it is a representation of the Holy Ghost. The cessationists believe, have us to believe that all of the gifts stopped with John when he died on Ephesus. They would be wrong.
Amen.
The gifts are for today.
That's right.
Keep yourself full of the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Sing in the Spirit. Speak in the Spirit. And minister in the power, the dunamis power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
If you need freedom, if you need something broke off of you, if you need the chains that bind you broken and you want to be free, I encourage you, get to the river this Sunday. If you can't wait till Sunday, call the number on your screen. We'll come to you. We'll come to you. We want you to be free in Jesus' name.
Yes, amen.
Heavenly Father, we love you, we praise you, and we give you all the honor, all the glory. Because, Lord, there's nothing worth honor and glory in our sight today except you. Lord, have your way tonight. And wherever people are watching this, if they need to be free, Holy Spirit, prick their heart. Let them know that the words spoken here tonight were true. And that you're a righteous and loving God. And where you are, there is liberty and there is freedom. We love you, Jesus, and we give you all the honor and all the glory. Amen. Before we go, there's a song that was really popular back in the 90s. And a lot of people like to sing it. And if I were to play it, a lot of people would know it. I know most of it was before you were saved. But if you find yourself on that highway to hell, let me just tell you. At 4517 North State Road 15 in Warsaw, Indiana, there's an off-ramp and an interchange that will put you on the stairway to heaven. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.